So I know with all of the, you know, number one, we have a new ruling now coming down from our wonderful, my brother Greg, my friend Greg, Greg Abbott. Since he's letting us go back to doing things, he can be my friend now. So, but because of that, you know, people have been, and I know that last week, as we closed the service, Carla said something and it kind of pricked my thought and it began to disturb some things. But because she was talking about, you know, there's a lot of people seeking to go back to normal, okay? But I'm telling you, this is actually a time for a reset. Okay, it's not back to normal, because back to normal wasn't where we want to be. Back to normal won't get the job done. Back to normal is not who he called us to be. You know, so there's a time and an opportunity right now for us to take a reset and go where God is showing us to go, to be who he's calling us to be, and to dwell where he's calling us to dwell. And it's an opportunity that's here in this shape of a pandemic to allow us to get somewhere that we couldn't maybe have otherwise gone. Because now people are beginning to wake up to just how fragile our ecosystem is. People are beginning to wake up and understand how fragile the economic system is, and how fragile even our civil rights are. So I think the people are seeing that maybe in a way that we wouldn't have seen that had it not been for this pandemic. Because you saw in less than a month how things shifted very quickly. Okay, and the Lord, years ago, he spoke to me and he said, all this that you see is an illusion. And now I can see even more quickly than I did then, I can see how much of an illusion it is, because we're so interdependent on things that we have no control about. But see, there's one who does, and there's one who, if we'll seek him, if we'll follow after him, we can always walk in a place of peace, we can always walk in a place of praise, we can always walk in a place of thanksgiving. Why? Because he's the one who's already releasing his love towards you. He's already releasing his good intention towards you, and he will lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. So those are just kind of some thoughts that I've been thinking about, and I was beginning to started thinking, what is normal? Well, and I would like to claim that I am normal, but if I claim that I'm normal, that means all of you aren't normal. There you go. Don't talk to me at the end of my message. That's at the end of my message. Don't jump to the end yet. You can't see the end. You got to go. So the thing is, the reality is, what we call normal is whatever we're accustomed to. We call normal something that we've experienced in our life, something that we're already comfortable with, something that we've already experienced. In other words, our normal is really more based on where we've been than on what actually is normal. Because see, God is looking and he's declaring to us that there's something different that I really wanted you to pursue. And I think there's an opportunity now to pursue like we couldn't have done before. Because see, what's familiar is not necessarily normal. I mean, I can think of hundreds of situations. It's not normal, okay? It's not normal for us to be the way that we are as true Bible-believing, Christ-loving Christians. That's not really normal in most people's eyes. And now here's another thought. It's what is good in my eyes might not be good in your eyes. Okay, this because I, you know, in other words, if you're a country boy and you grow up eating squirrel and rabbit and possum, okay, we got one woo and several uhs. Okay, that tells you how polarized this issue can be. But if you grow up in the country, it's just what you do. Grow some frog. I've had me some frog legs. It's actually pretty good. But if you were used to using those things and eating those things, it's part of what you do. To you, that's normal. Whereas to others of you, you can't even think of it. the idea of eating some greasy possum is not what you want to think about. It's not normal. But see, bless you. I don't know what that was. It was a possum burp. Well, I've eaten all of them but possum, okay, just for your FYI. Never had no possum, so. But here, let's go back and so go with me to Exodus 14. Because see, when they were coming out of Egypt and God was dealing with the Israelites, he was dealing with Israel as they were coming out of Egypt, and there was a whole lot going on in this text. And so I want to explore this a little bit because see, what they considered normal really and in fact was just bondage. It was just bondage. What was familiar to them was nothing more than slavery. But see, because it was familiar to them, because that was what they were used to, that's how they thought. Now, there's a saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Yeah. Is that true? Yeah. But my point is that because this is what they saw and this is what they could hear, this is what they could do, all right, this is what they were used to. It was what familiar with them. But see, God's not wanting to return you to a place of slavery. He's not wanting to return you to something that's familiar if it's not him. To something that's familiar that doesn't have his stamp on it, doesn't have his goodness on it, doesn't have his love on it. He's wanting to bring you back, not to that which was familiar simply because it was already there, but he's wanting to bring you back to something that'll take you somewhere else. To something that draws you closer to him, something that brings you into his presence, something that will bring you into a greater place and greater existence, and something that will look a lot more like him. So that others can get to experience who the Father is through you. Hallelujah. So, verse 11. And then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Well, there's a grateful bunch of people. If you recall, Moses didn't exactly sign up for this super willingly. He was obedient, but it wasn't like it was his first choice. But at the same time, it was his call. And they've been let go out of Egypt. They've already spoiled the Egyptians, so they've got all this gold and silver and all this goodies with them, and they're in the desert and they're coming up to the Red Sea. But as they can stand, as they're coming up to the Red Sea, they can look and see that the Egyptians are coming. It's coming. The horses and the chariots are coming. And you got the sea in front of you. Why did you drag us out here, Moses? Wasn't it good enough for us to just be in slavery? Wasn't it good enough so that we could just hang out? Weren't there enough graves? Of course there were plenty of graves there. That was the problem, was that the whole thing, what that in Egypt represents is the slavery. What it represents is the bondage. Because what it was representing is that Pharaoh is the taskmaster. In other words, Pharaoh is fear. And that's fear that's the taskmaster. Fear will continue to try to control everything that you do, everything, how you perceive. See, fear wants to control how you perceive your environment and how you respond to it. Fear wants to control how you see and how you hear, and so that what it does is affects what you're going to do. You can get to such a place where fear will cause you to just totally freeze up. Or fear will cause you to just run. I think they were in a position where they just wanted to run, but there wasn't anywhere to run to. See, a lot of times in Egypt, you have to recognize that both, even though it represented fear, it also represented their food, their sustenance. Even though as awful as the slavery was, as horrible as all that was, it represented what they were being supplied by. In the same way that oftentimes an addiction is what you've been supplied by. Okay? It doesn't matter whether that addiction, what that addiction is to, but the addiction is supplying something for you. And because it's supplying something for you, it's what keeps drawing you back, and it keeps drawing you back over and over and over again. Even though it's killing you, it's also drawing you. I've seen this in way too many lives that where something that was really killing them, when someone had an addiction like a cocaine addiction or whatever, it would keep drawing them back no matter, and over and over and over again until something in the process broke, which was usually them. Usually, if something else doesn't intervene, if God doesn't intervene in your life, it's generally going to be death that interrupts that cycle. Thankfully, in my case and in others' cases, God interrupted the cycle. God interrupted the cycle. But see, to those who are in the middle of an addiction, okay, that's a normal thing. It's normal to spend all your time wasting it. It's normal to spend your time letting this addiction control you. I know that when I smoked cigarettes, I couldn't go more than like 2 or 3 hours without going smoking another cigarette. Because it controlled me. It told me when it was break time. It told me when it was lunchtime. It told me when it was break time again. It told me when it was lunchtime again. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, it was telling you what you were going to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God that we don't have to be there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the point with all this is that what's familiar is not necessarily what's good. What's familiar is not necessarily even what he wants us to be situated in. But it's inevitably what we turn to. You know, how many like that? Good, you know, how many like that old time rock and roll? The one that moves your soul. I mean, you, in other words, you have a, now the thought's going in your head, you can't stop. Huh? My point is that you have something going on, something that you're connected with that wants to drive your behaviors. Only because it's familiar. What if we made worshiping God to be the thing that's the most familiar? What if we made honoring him to be the thing that was most familiar? What if we made standing and letting him be a light from within be the thing that's the most familiar? Not only are we opening up the windows so the light can come in, but we're opening up the windows so the light can come out. That's his purpose. That's his light. That's his reason, okay? Because he loves you. He wants to have a relationship and a fellowship with you. At the same time, he wants you to be able to be such an example of who he is that you're actually having an impact on those that are around you. It's part of what he created us for. Yes. One of the things if you will turn with me to Numbers 11. Before we do that, just you're in Exodus. Let me go down, and I just want to touch on something that's just real quick here. Verse 19. It says, "And the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them." Now, that's interesting to me because I've read that passage a lot of times. I never actually saw that there was an angel of God with the pillar. I always saw the pillar and the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But I didn't realize that this pillar was connected to an angel who was moving from in front of him to behind him. In other words, everywhere that the danger was, this angel positioned himself between them and it. You have an angel. We've been given the authority to have these angels on guard with us, going before us, preparing the way, but they're also preparing and protecting the rear. They're protecting our rear guard. They're part of what is there in our behalf if we'll understand and empower it. Expect it and let it be empowered. Okay? But here's another thing, that while they were in this position and they were testing Moses and they were testing God and they were complaining already that, you know, we could have died back there. It would have been easier for us just to die back there. All this time, there was something else going on. Verse 24, and it came about at morning. See, this is, they've already crossed over. They've gotten out and they've come across the Red Sea now. And it came about at morning, at the morning watch, that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. You know what that means? Yes, they're toast. It does mean that. I have another point, but I like that one. But what that actually means is if the Lord is looking through the pillar at the Egyptians, he must be standing right there in the midst of the Israelites. There's nowhere else for him to be. He's standing with the Israelites, and he's looking through the angel, through the fire, at the Egyptians who are about to be toast. Hallelujah. Because see, right then, when he puts them into confusion, now they start driving this way and that way in their chariots, and he causes the wheels of the chariots to come off, and then he just causes the water to come right back on top. Nice and sweet and done. So but here's the thing. In the midst of their crisis, they failed to realize that God was with them. There was one man at that moment who knew that the Lord was there. Because why? Because he tells you something. In verse 13, but Moses said, "Do not fear, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, he understood that the Lord was there with them. And at the same time, what we have to understand is when fear comes, when fear is coming upon us, that we can stand and see and expect the Lord's deliverance. We can expect that the angel will position himself between us and the enemy. That the fire and the pillar will separate us between us and the enemy. But the Lord is already in our midst. If we'll just acknowledge him and turn in and acknowledge him and welcome him into the scene. Because he's already there. Because he was standing there. He was waiting for them to acknowledge him. He was waiting for them to say, I see the hand of the Lord. In the land of living. See, fear wants to cause you to do anything but. Fear wants to cause you to run back to where you came from. Fear wants you to go back to what was ever familiar. In other words, that thing that was familiar might be simply as simple as a bowl of ice cream and I just go drown my sorrows. Chocolate. I know. Chocolate with little marshmallow pieces in it. Hallelujah. Am I getting descriptive enough? Hallelujah. Did I hit somebody? Possum stew. I don't think I'm going to get too many takers on possum stew. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. They were looking at an opportunity, but all they could understand was the fear. That's what fear does. Fear wants to control. Fear wants to drive you back. Fear wants to take you back. But I'm here to tell you, that's not normal. That's not normal. Actually, most of the fear that comes upon us is actually a supernatural thing, and it's not normal. It's not, it is something that the enemy is stirring up against you. It's causing you to perceive something that's maybe not even real. And it's not normal. It's not, it doesn't have to be the norm for any of us, because we can choose. We can choose to engage him. We can choose to recognize the Lord who is with us. We can choose to recognize and send forth the angel who will protect us and guard us in the front and the rear. Hallelujah. That's what we want to become normal. Hallelujah. Did the Lord, did he call you a peculiar people? A holy nation and a peculiar people? Some of us might be a little more peculiar than others, but it's all good. Hallelujah. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. It's like, he's looking at me. Tim, we miss you, brother, because right there was a great opportunity. Andres is sweating bullets now. All right, so let's go to Numbers 11 for just a second. Because, see, one of the things that happens is that we get so caught up thinking that yesterday and wherever those things that we were involved in were so good. Okay? Numbers 11, verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But there's nothing here for us but this manna. I mean, these are people who are not thankful. Okay, thankfulness. Let's say, make thankfulness part of your new normal. Make thankfulness part of your daily normal. Because if it's part of your daily normal, it's going to change how you perceive what you're involved with. It's going to change how you perceive both the people and the events around you. But see, they were romanticizing these leeks and garlics and onions and all that, whatever that was that they were mess that they were eating. But they weren't remembering the fact that they were being beaten and raped and pillaged and killed and all this while they were in slavery and in bondage. They made it something that, you know, that a lot of times remember, you know, I remember the first time that I heard my son, he was about 12, and he was talking to his friend, and he said, you know, back in the day. And I'm thinking, you're not old enough to have back in the day. Yeah, back in the day couldn't have been more than a year ago, okay? But it was back in the day. The deal is that when something gets back in the day, we tend to think about it in much rosier terms than we thought about it when we were in it. And sometimes our back in the day, now sometimes you might legitimately have a good back in the day. But sometimes our back in the day wasn't what we're making it out to be today. Amen? Sometimes just having yesterday out there is just it's kind of an interesting, you know, compelling place to live. And that's what when people are reverting, that's what they're doing. They're trying to live in something that was. You know, you've met him, the guy who was the high school quarterback, and he stays the high school quarterback for the rest of his life, even though he never gets anywhere and does anything with the rest of his life. Why? Because he's still back in the day. He's still romanticizing about something, and it's actually become a bondage and a chain that keeps him locked down and keeps him from succeeding in who he's called to be. It doesn't matter how good or how bad. I've had some really neat and wonderful experiences back in the day. But if I stay there, then I'm robbing myself of the opportunity to enjoy today and to look into and anticipate tomorrow. Lori? Okay. So yesterday, ultimately, yesterday didn't really exist, not the way you think. You know? The Beatles had a song about that. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. I believe in yesterday. See, now anybody who can repeat that with me, they're the wrong age. No clue. Yeah. He never heard. Yeah. I don't know that song. I had to read it off the internet. So, my point is, yesterday might seem alluring, and we want to make that normal. But the reality was, if it's not where God is taking you, it's not who He's called you to be. It's not going to be fulfilling. It's only going to be a trap that keeps you from coming, becoming what you're called to be. It's only going to be a trap that keeps you from maturing. You know what? Maturing takes some time, and it takes some growing up from yesterday. If all my back in the days were all my concern, then I never mature into what is available to me today. That's why we need a new normal. We need a new normal. We need to reset. This is an opportunity right now. It's been an opportunity to reset and investigate for a new normal. Let a new normal come up into our hearts. Let a new normal and a new way of seeing things, a new way of perceiving things. And because no matter what it is that we've had in the past, it's going to leave some kind of a stain on our heart or our life. But at the same time, God is able to take those things and choose to make them into something that forms who you're going to be. It doesn't. Most of those things that I did in my yesterday are what allow me to interact and empathize with people today. I don't want to stay in yesterday. I don't want to repeat yesterday. Especially not me. If you knew me, then you would understand. But it does allow me to relate to people today. It also makes me a whole lot less likely to judge anybody for anything. Because I pretty much did all the other thing. Whatever somebody was going to likely to be judging somebody about, I did it. So why would I judge you? See, there's a grace that can be born because we're no longer in yesterday, but because you learned the lesson of yesterday, which carries us into our today. The lesson of our yesterday will carry us into our today. Hallelujah. So they were pretty much ungrateful. And when they were ungrateful, there was a response. Because the Lord said, well, you know, because they were crying out for meat. And the Lord says, well, you want meat? I'll give you meat. I'll give you meat. I'll give you meat till it's running out your nose. That's what it literally says that. Okay, let me see. Down there about verse 31. He says, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were, a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on that side, round about the camp, and were 2 cubits high on the face of the earth. Let me give you perspective. That's a day's journey, okay? Let's say 12 miles is a day's journey. That's 24-mile circle of quail. That was 2 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches. That's 3 feet deep. I think they were in the just alive and kicking stage at that point. So now you have a lifetime supply of feathers. So you can keep yourself warm, keep yourself comfy at night, and you got more meat. I mean, literally, it's running out your nose. If you're not over 3 foot tall, you got to wade through the things. Yes, we're not going there. So, but my point is that the Lord is more, he's more than present in our life. And in this situation, their lack of thankfulness, so it caused him to respond, but it also caused him to release something on their behalf. There's a blessing beyond anything that we could even imagine. It's more than it was more than I'm sure that they had, you know, it was supposedly like a month's worth of food. Can you imagine what a month's worth of food looks like for a million people? Well, that just gives you an idea of what a month's worth of food looked like. All at one time. All at one time. What if seeing God move like that became our new normal? What about seeing him move like that was our new normal, what we call normal? Because see, when I first got born again, it was in the midst of a revival. And so to me, those things that I saw, those things that I experienced, the way God moved, seeing people get healed every day, every service that I went to, seeing people in my small groups whose lives were being changed and everything about them was being touched, and physically and emotionally, mentally, that to me, you remember, that to me is normal. Getting words that are so accurate that it was just uncanny, that should be normal. Amen. That's what I see is normal. Anything else is just not quite what he called us to. That's what I'm wanting us to see. When he starts moving like this, when he starts moving in our midst, when he starts changing the dynamics of our lives so that we can see and hear him the way he is, we can have an expectation now that the angels of God are going to be there on our behalf. We can have an expectation that the fire of God and the zeal of God is going to be in our heart on a daily basis so that pursuing him is not something we just do because we got, you know, we're duty bound to report to the prayer closet every day. No. It's our source of life. It's our source of joy. It's what invigorates us. It's what connects us with him. But not only is it connecting us with him, it's also connecting us with one another. And it's also empowering us to release what he has called us to release everywhere that we go. So that we see deliverance happen just simply because we walked by. To see and to know that God is God and have the anointing of God on such a way that when somebody has a need, you can release. Whether it's physical, financial, whatever it is, spiritual, you can release into them. Hallelujah. This is what we want to look at for normal. When we want to go back to normal, let's not go back to what was, because what was is not what should be. What was might have some nice facets to it, but let's learn a lesson out of those things, but let's not stay there. There's a God who will answer by fire. That's the God I want to see. So that there's no more discussion. When he gets done with the discussion, it's just done. There's something that's toast and something that's not. I kind of would like that to be, you know, in our political system right now. You know, I want to see the God who answers by fire. Yeah, you want to challenge God? Poof! Okay, I guess I shouldn't pray. That is not a prayer, okay? The sons of thunder got in trouble for saying that, so I won't. But nonetheless, I want to see God move in mighty and miraculous ways. I want to see deaf ears healed. I want to see blind eyes open. I want to be the first person somebody sees. That's what normal should be. That's the normal that I want to pursue. That's the thing that I want to see what God is doing and what God is stirring. That's why I want my heart to be where whenever there were two of us together, that there's a stirring of the Lord every time. No, whenever two or more people are in one space, then there's going to be just an exchange and an ignition that happens. So something takes off. It's who he's called us to be. It's possible. We've seen evidence of it in our own lifetimes. We've seen sparklings of it here and there in our own lifetime. We've been part of these things. If you ever went to Brownsville or something like that, you've been part of, you saw those things. But at the same time, I'm here to tell you that God is not willing to limit that to just there. That's still yesterday. He wants it to be our today and our tomorrow. Our today and our tomorrow should look better than our yesterday. I believe our today and tomorrow, it's possible. I think that there's such a, and when LaRue's talking about the release of the crown, that's what I see it as, is a release of what God's purpose and destiny is for this hour. A release of the God's heart and harvest. Because see, each one of us is a key to the harvest. There was a time when one man would carry all the anointing of God. I don't think that's going to happen again. I don't think God's going to do it like that anymore. Why? Because it's too easy to break that. I think he's going to cause a whole group of people united in a united heart to release the glory of God in such a way. But then when they come together corporately, there's just an even greater release. Why? Because there's a greater expectancy. How many of you have been to a conference and experienced the atmosphere change in a conference? I can guarantee you that if everybody would come in here every day, every time we meet, in that same attitude of expectancy, we would see the same atmosphere and better, because why? We've already been practiced at it. It's just some time for us to have that to be our new normal. And what is our norm today? What is our normal today? Tomorrow will be yesterday. And so when our new normal today, this becomes a stepping stone till tomorrow. So when I get used to seeing deaf ears open up, now I can have an expectancy to see the blind eye. Because it's his desire, his design for this generation. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to be a holy nation. A holy nation. It's time for us to rise up and be the sons of God. Have an expectation as sons of God. And our daddy is not the natural daddy anymore. Our mama's not the natural mom anymore. I'm sorry, Mom, but I like his Abba son. Abba son. I like that. If I could pronounce the way Anna pronounces it, I'd do that one too, but I can't. But my point, but here's the thing, is our alignment is with our Heavenly Father when we become a son of God. Our alignment is now, and we're having more of an alignment now with him than we are with the things that are in the natural, which gives us a different perspective and a different reception for what is about to happen. We no longer have to be locked down by the past. We no longer have to be in the bondage of the slavery. We can begin to be opened up into a greater anointing. Why? Because we're related to the one who is the anointing. When we see ourselves as sons of God, by acknowledging ourselves as sons of God, we're acknowledging that we are being led by the Spirit of God. And when we're led by the Spirit of God, all things, Romans 8:14 tells us that we become the sons of God, and all things become available to us. Christ did what he did because he saw what the Father was doing. The more we can come into an agreement and see what the Father is doing, the more we can align ourselves with it. And it starts with just telling yourself, this is who I am. Acknowledging it. Cody's acknowledging it already. I saw him. As we acknowledge it, in other words, we acknowledge that we are the Son of God, a Son of God, we acknowledge his plan, his purpose, his destiny. We acknowledge all the things that he can release through one who is free from the things of the past and free from the entanglements of man. Because if you're truly a son of God, you're no longer entangled by the things that most people get entangled by. It's time for us to see the deliverance that the Lord wants. See the reset and take advantage of the reset. I remember a lady that at one point in time, she was in a marriage, and it was very difficult. She was being drugged and molested and all this in her marriage. And we got her out of that situation, found a place for, and actually paid for a place for her to be. And she was there for 3, 4, maybe 5 months. And then she picks up the phone and calls her husband and goes back. Now, I was pretty disappointed because I was at this point in time, because we spent a lot of time and effort, and I'd already had to interface with the husband, which was not a fun thing to do. I'd already had to interface with the husband to so that he couldn't find out where she was, and she goes back. Because, see, to her, that was normal. As awful as it was, as horrible as it was what was familiar. The end of that story is that it wasn't that many years later, and she was dead. Because the natural course of things took its natural course. But see, God's deliverance was there for her. But we still had to make a choice. She couldn't make the choice to step out of what was familiar and into what was possible. What was actually even evident to her. Because she was already, in those 3 or 4 months, she was being taught the word daily, and having, there were scriptures that were playing in the atmosphere 24/7, and there was a whole nother atmosphere being created for her. But she still identified with the old. She still identified with the captivity. And she willingly placed herself in the captivity. We want to make sure we're not continuing to go back to something just simply because it's familiar. We want to make sure we're not going back to something simply because we don't know what else to do. We want to make sure that we're not allowing the enemy to distract us and to create a new bondage for us. We want to look and see, where does God have me and where does he want me to go? Where is God? What has God got in front of me? What's his freedom look like? What does freedom look like? What does freedom sound like? What does freedom and liberty feel like? And begin to step and begin to be thankful for him, to him every day. If you'll just wake up and be thankful for the God that is loving you, the God who's creating you, the God who's with you, then you'll begin to see and perceive the world around you in a different way. And all of a sudden, anything that's not lining up with his freedom, anything that's not lining up with his love, will naturally fall away. If I wake up and I just, like, all I want to do is think about yesterday, what I used to have, my eye's on the wrong place, and wherever my eye goes, that's where I go. Where your treasure is. And that's a sad treasure when it's like that. I don't know why somebody wants to wind up like that. But I've seen it happen too many times. I've helped a lot of people get out, but sometimes people want to stay. Sometimes they get out and then they go back. We have a choice. You know, the devil can't make you do anything. He can't make you do anything. You get a choice. You don't have to stay under those things. Even if you fell under those things again for a little while, you don't have to stay there. You can come back out, because God has already empowered you. He's already gifted you. He's already graced you to come out. To see his deliverance, to make it complete. Hallelujah. Get ready to pray. This will give him a taste again. I want you to tell you something here. In Isaiah 19 and 3, you don't have to turn there, but you can look it up later. Or you could turn there if you want to, Les. It's okay. Just because I told you you didn't have to doesn't mean you can't. But Isaiah 19:3 says the spirit of Egypt is failing. The spirit of bondage, the spirit of slavery, the spirit of the old, the spirit of yesterday and the allure of yesterday is failing. The spirit of those addictions is failing. The spirit of the past fears is failing. The spirit of the lack of understanding is failing. Anything that was part of yesterday's turmoil, yesterday's trauma is failing. It's what he's calling us to recognize. Because see, at that point in time, Israel was about to be invaded. They had been in their own territory for a long time, but they were about to be invaded by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were coming. And when the Assyrians were coming, they were looking for somewhere to go, and they said, I know, we'll just go back to Egypt. And the Lord said, don't go back to Egypt. He said, if you'll just repent and stay under my hand, I'll deflect the Assyrians. But no, they decided they had to run. They went back. When they went back, they took themselves out from underneath the hand of God. But the spirit of Egypt was failing. The spirit of Egypt was not capable. The bondage of the past is not capable of holding on to you any longer. You are free. You are free. I'm going to finish this up with Exodus 14 and verse 13. As a minute ago, I didn't read the whole verse, but I want to read the whole verse now. But it says, Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the deliverance or the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The completion of our reset. The completion of our reset. The Egyptians that you're seeing today, the Egyptians that used to be in your life, the Egyptians that may even still be in your life at this moment, if you'll stand by and have an expectation of the Lord, they will never bother you again. They're never going to come upon you again. They're never going to have control over you again. They're never going to have authority over you again. You have been given a new deliverance and a new healing and a new dominion. And it's time for you to rise up and recognize the dominion he has placed in your heart, the dominion he has placed in your new nature, the dominion he has called you to be and to allow you to walk in, because it's who he is and it's his desire that you walk in his fullness every day in every way. It's his heart. It's his heart. The Egyptians were never going to see him again. The spirit of Egypt is failing. The bondage of my past has no control over me any longer. The bondage of my past is no longer able to speak into my present or into my future. It's no longer determining what I look like or what I care about. It's only there to remind me or be a lesson that I can allow to take me into further into what God has called me to be. Those things that I used to revel in, most of them I can't even remember now. The things that used to torment me, I don't even have. It's like it's like a story I read about somebody else. Now, when I'm in a sozo or something with somebody, and somebody needs some counsel, and I have to draw upon that experience, I can bring it back. But otherwise, I don't think about that anymore. It's not driving me. It's not controlling the way I say or do or what I respond to. And I think that every one of us has that ability when we allow him to write a new today and we let go of the yesterday. Because yesterday wasn't normal anyway. But today we can seek a new normal. We can seek a new normal. Hallelujah.